This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. Merry Christmas Eve here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network. You guys can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Join us all on the network at VSiN Live as we take you through the remainder of this Hawaii Bowl, which could be saving us from what has been a horrific bowl season so far here in college football. Plus, we will get you ready for all of your Christmas Day action. Three NFL games, five NBA games, plenty of bets to be made and bets to be won. But let's get you caught up on what's going on right now out on the islands as Hawaii and Cal are tied at 21 in the fourth quarter. Now, if you've been watching all week, I gave out the plays, my favorite plays on this game. I am heavily invested on Hawaii on the money line. I am heavily invested on the over. Over was 50. It got pushed. I want to say pushed down, then pushed up. Like, this game opened up with a total of 55, 55 and a half. It was bet down to the point where it got to that 50 range. And then it ticks back up. It gets to 51 and a half. 52, there was some buyback once it got up to 52. It closed at 51 here at Circa. And Hawaii closed as a one-point favorite here at Circa. When the line opened, Hawaii was a three-point dog, and the total was around 55 or so. So you can see where the market kind of was eager to push this total down and to get in on the Rainbow Warriors. And then there was some more sentiment today on pushing this game to go under. And by the way, right now, it's even though it's 21-21 and you feel okay about the game going over because overtime is your best friend, live total right now is 54 and a half. But the idea that this game was going to go under had to do with a few things. One, bowl season has been an under season. We are 8-3 to the under right now in college football bowl season. And in large part because these games have been pathetic. And the play on the field has been pathetic. Really, bothersome football that we have watched this college football bowl season. I'm not counting the college football playoff. So the unders have been dominant. Naturally, people would come back in here on the under. Then there was the idea that there's so much familiarity and respect between the two coaches who are close friends, former Hawaii quarterbacks, and two coaches that played. Nick Rolovich was the head coach at Hawaii, not just the quarterback there. A lot of respect between these two teams. If one of these teams took a lead, the other team would certainly not run up the score out of respect. But I was never worried about that aspect. In fact, someone actually tweeted me today, and we had this conversation. They said, are you worried about, well, if it's a one-sided game, neither coach is going to want to run up the score, and so it can go under. And my response was, it's a one-point spread. This is a pick'em game. In no world is this going to be a one-sided blowout. Fast forward to the first, quarter and a half of this football game, and Cal is up 21-0. So, yes, it looks like a one-sided blowout football game. It was at that point that I decided to go in on a live bet. And I bet Hawaii plus 20 and a half. And my thought process was to start to think like that person tweeted at me. And like I was starting to read online about the whole respect thing here between Rolovich and Timmy Chang. And I felt at 20 and a half, okay, I'm already invested in Hawaii money line from earlier in the week and before the game. So there's no reason to turn that loser into a second loser, but down 21-0, you still have a whole half a football and a half a quarter to go. Plenty of time for Hawaii to come back. And what have we seen throughout this bowl season? So much variance. Teams are coming back. Toledo backdoors Louisville yesterday. These games just wind up having swings in the fourth quarter. And so I felt even at 21-0, Hawaii was not out of this football game. And if they were, well, then I was just going to rely on Rolovich to not run up the score and be respectful. Well, now we sit here 21-21 as Hawaii has really outplayed Cal since the midway point, I should say, of that second quarter. Hawaii just scored a touchdown before and converted the two-point conversion. That's why we sit here tied at 21, although Cal is moving the football right now. On the live line, with plenty of time left in this game, I mean, we have a lot of time left here. Cal is a minus 2.5-point favorite. It's 11 minutes or so, 11 and change left. Cal is minus 2.5. Your live total, 55.5. Hawaii's going to win this football game. And I have, like, betting FOMO that I didn't go in on Hawaii money line when they were down 21-0. Because as much as I felt that Hawaii was going to come back in this game, as much as I felt that there's so the variance when it comes to the college football bowl games and we were going to see, you know, some change here in the second half, I have this feeling. Same feeling I had from before the game. The same feeling I had all week about how important this game is for Hawaii. Playing in their first Hawaii Bowl since 2019. Trying to win on their home turf in front of their fans. I wonder what that halftime speech like was from Timmy Chang. Because in other bowl games, you're down 21-7. In other bowl games, the coaches might not be trying to motivate your players at the half. And they might just be saying, hey, guys, good first half. Nobody got hurt. Let's continue to play hard. We're going to give a look at some of our underclassmen here in the second half. So let's enjoy ourselves. And congratulations, we made it this far. Look at what a great accomplishment, right? Enjoy your gift packages that we got from this incredible sponsor. Make sure you wave hi to your parents and your friends when you get a chance to get on the field. And let's go have some fun out there. That's not the speech that Timmy Chang gave Hawaii at the half. I can promise you that. This is an important game. It's going to be a great finish, though. And I'm so happy for it because I tweeted this out the other day, yesterday, and I even retweeted it just before the show here when I was begging for the Hawaii Bowl to save us from what has been a terrible bowl game. And it looks like they have saved us because we have a competitive close game here in the fourth quarter that's going to come down to maybe like the first game of the season did in week zero when Hawaii kicked a game-winning field goal to beat Stanford. And how fitting would that be if the season starts with the kid from Tokyo who learned how to kick on YouTube, who kicks a game-winning field goal in week zero to beat Stanford, to walk it off. And he does it here again against another Bay Area team in Cal to win this game here in the Hawaii Bowl. Still plenty of time left to be played, and Cal is moving. They are deep into Hawaii territory, so we'll see if they can score and take the lead and if Hawaii does have an answer in them. Again, taking a quick look at the live line right now with just under 10 minutes to play. It is Cal minus 2.5, your live total of 54.5. I'm Scott Satterberg. You guys can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Get us all on the network at VSIN Live. We've had a little bit of line movement in the games here for the NFL slate on Christmas Day. And it was expected line movement. Like, nothing was surprising. And it's because we knew about the bad quarterback situations already, but there was still like that hint of maybe, like nothing was official. But then once it becomes official, once word gets out and it's public that, hey, Josh Johnson starting for Washington, Max Brosmer starting for Minnesota. Once you get that public confirmation, the market does move a tiny tick. Because people start to bet it based off of that news becoming available and public. So we have had some slight movement here on some of the games on Christmas Day. We'll go through all of the spreads coming up and really what each game, what bets we can look for in each game. Plus, one of my favorite things used to be the contract incentives at the end of the season in the NFL. And when I say used to be, I mean used to be, because it was a very profitable thing to bet. At the end of the season, you would find out which players had certain incentives in their contracts, and in the final week of the season, you'd bet them to go over a certain player prop to get that incentive, and you would cash. Now, we have gotten to the point where content creators are starting to release the incentives lists in week 16 of the season. Literally, I saw last week people going online and promoting that you should be betting a player's over because they need a certain amount of receptions or yardage to get to their milestone. There's 3 weeks left in the season. It's what kind of analysis is that? And it's all over the internet, guys. It's all over. Well, we better bet him to go over 4.5 receptions in this game because he needs to get that contract incentive. Okay, guess what? If he needs that 5 catches, he can get it in week 16, week 17, and week 18 combined. He doesn't need it in week 16. And it's the same thing for this week. You don't need it all in week 17. But we can talk about some of these situations and why the sports books have caught on and why you as a bettor have to be careful with the type of content that you are consuming when it comes to betting these player props. I'll explain it all coming up. I'm Scott Sandberg. Once again, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. We're going to keep an eye on what's going on here in the Hawaii Bowl between Hawaii and Cal. We will get to all of the NFL notes coming up for your 3-game Christmas Day slate, plus all of the NBA action coming up on Christmas Day as well. This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Sandberg back here with you. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Cal was able to kick a field goal to take a 24-21 lead over Hawaii, and now it is Hawaii's turn. They have the football just shy of midfield. Still plenty of time left in this football game as they trail by 3 and are now going to cross midfield or get to midfield with a nice run here. So we'll keep an eye on this game. We are on Hawaii on the money line. We are on the over in this game, 24-21. Still have some work to do before this game is over. We have a 3-game NFL slate coming up tomorrow on Christmas Day. 5 games in the NBA, which we will get to. We have plenty of bets in these games. But last segment, I was talking about the contract incentives and how this time of the year, you're going to hear a lot of content about which players need to hit certain milestones for their contract incentives. The problem is that a lot of these content providers or people that are recommending plays based off of the contracts are not telling you how the sports books are juicing you on this. Betting contract incentives used to be an extremely profitable plan of action. Going back 5 years ago, 4 years ago, heck, even 2 years ago, I would say, you were still doing really well betting these player props based off of the week 18 numbers, right? Week 18 contract incentives. Now we're starting to get them in week 17. And yes, even this year, there were people that were giving out bets in week 16 based off contract incentives, even though you still had plenty of weeks left in the season to get it. The problem is the sports books now are so aware of all of this information that's out there, right? With sports betting becoming widely popular, legalized everywhere, right? Prediction markets going crazy. Everybody's got a podcast, a Twitter account, an Instagram, a TikTok giving out, you know, plays. Literally, I see teenagers that have like hundreds and thousands of TikTok followers that have no idea what they're talking about. They're giving out some of the worst advice I've ever seen. By the way, I posted one TikTok last week. My account got banned. Anyway, you look at the numbers on some of these player props And let's say, for example, wide receiver X needs 4 receptions to trigger their contract incentive. While that sounds great, and you could just go into that game thinking, well, it's awesome. I'm just going to bet that player to get 4 receptions. The problem is, the books now know this. And so whereas on a normal game, maybe that wide receiver X's player prop is 3.5. And you know they need 4 receptions to go over, so you're going to bet the over 3.5. Great. Sounds great. But with the books knowing this information, that player prop in week 18 is not 3.5. It's 4.5. And so while you're sitting here going, hey, this player needs 4 catches, well, now you can't bet the 4 catches. You have to bet 5 catches. And if you want to bet the 4 catches and you want to do an alternate spread, you're laying juice now. Unnecessary juice. This is the problem with all of this contract incentive talk that's out there now, is that you are being taxed as a sports bettor on this. And you're better off, instead of blindly tailing all of these incentives and all of these numbers, you're better off finding other ways to bet for these events to occur. For instance, if a certain player needs a certain amount of receptions, okay, maybe there's multiple players on the same team that need a certain amount of receptions. The sports books are going to tax you on those receivers' reception props. But where they're not going to tax you is on the quarterback's completions props or the quarterback's attempts props. And so, yeah, who knows? You might get a backup quarterback. Somebody comes in late in the fourth quarter and is just throwing them passes. Sure, there's many ways you can lose a bet. But instead of paying the extra tax and the extra juice on a player to have a certain amount of receptions, maybe I'll just bet his quarterback to go over a certain amount of attempts. Because if they're truly thinking about feeding everybody for the bonuses, well, then the quarterback's going to have to drop back and pass a bunch of times. And maybe that's not the perfect example, but it is an example where you can look at a correlation in order to maximize the value of your bet, as opposed to just playing into a significantly taxed and juiced market. The other angle is, some of these props you could actually get a good price on. For instance, Action Network has done a great job. I'll give them a shout out. They have a whole list of contract incentive of people, right? And one of the contract incentives that I thought was interesting was Von Miller. Von Miller needs 2 sacks in order for him to achieve $1 million contract incentive. Now, I'm not going to tell you to go bet Von Miller to have 2 sacks here against the Dallas Cowboys on Christmas, but he's got 2 games to get 2 sacks, right? Sacks aren't easy to get, by the way, but he's got 2 games to get to 2 sacks. Well, if you look, this isn't exactly a Myles Garrett situation where you go look at the player prop on Myles Garrett and for him to get a sack, it's like minus 200. The prop right now on Von Miller to get a sack, and let's see if it's been updated up on DraftKings. Let's take a look to see if it's been updated. It's at plus 352 for him to get 1 sack. Now, this is a case where I have no problem playing into a contract incentive market, because this is a number that is not being taxed. If it was minus 150 or even plus 200 or plus 150, I'd be like, yeah, you know something? The sportsbooks know what's up here. And they might in week 18. Like, imagine the scenario that Von Miller gets a sack here of Dak Prescott on Christmas Day. And going into week 18, he needs 1 sack to get his $1 million bonus. And everybody out here is talking about Von Miller needing 1 sack. Von Miller needs 1 sack. I promise you, week 18, his line is not going to be plus 352 to get 1 sack. So this is an example of one that I actually would play, that I actually do like, because you're going to get taxed more in week 18 than you would here in week 17. And I just love plus money props because, hey, it's a nice flyer. You put a little sprinkle on it. It's plus 352. Maybe Dak Prescott rolls out the wrong way. Hey, maybe he does what Josh Allen did last week, and he falls down. And then Myles Garrett can scramble on the ground and then touch him and get credit for a half a sack. And maybe that's what happens here. Maybe Dak Prescott falls down, and Von Miller gets to touch him and get credit for a half a sack or something. That's kind of a way that I would look at it. Or, let's see, over a quarter of a sack for Von Miller. See, this would be even, this is an even better bet. This is an even better bet. I'm sorry. Plus 352, forget about that. The better bet is over a quarter of a sack up on DraftKings right now, plus 292. He only needs a half a sack and you win this award. You win this bet. Half a sack, you get it. That's the better bet. Plus 292, Von Miller, over a quarter of a sack. There's no such thing as quarter sacks, guys. This is just the way that they price in the bets. So either he gets a half a sack or a full sack, or that's it. Okay, or he doesn't get a sack at all. So that's a bet I would make. It's plus 300. Come on, guys. That's the way that I would like to play some of this. But I'll let you know if there's any interesting incentives that come down here for some of these games coming up on Christmas tomorrow. But for one that, like, I have no interest in, like, okay, Sam Darnold needs four touchdowns to get a $500,000. So what does that mean? Do I go over 1.5 passing touchdowns this week and then over 1.5 passing touchdowns next week? Do I bet him to get all four this week and then zero next week against the 49ers? Like, what, you know? Don't you think the Seahawks care about winning the game in week 18 against the 49ers to win the division as opposed to making sure Sam Darnold throws for a bunch of touchdowns? Also, I mean, I know we say these guys have a lot of money. Money is money. Money is money. Money is what we hope to be making if Hawaii closes this out. Hawaii has taken a 28-24 lead over Cal here in the fourth quarter of the Hawaii Bowl. But Cal just took a short screen pass. The player broke about four tackles and a deep play down the field. Cal is in business. Hey, football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide when you shop omahasteaks.com/VSiN. From legendary steaks to crowd-pleasing appetizers, Omaha Steaks makes game day easy and delicious. Don't wait. Get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings and save 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. Your live line right now, as we are hitting late in the fourth quarter of the Hawaii Bowl. 5 minutes remaining. Hawaii with a 28-24 lead. Oh, it's off the board. Hawaii minus 2.5 now on the live line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Well, Cal is moving the football here. Hawaii with a 28-24 lead. 3:50 to go here in the fourth quarter of the Hawaii Bowl. The over is cashed as we are at 28-24, but we are sweating out our Hawaii play to see if they can keep Cal out of the end zone, or if Cal does score, if there's enough time for Hawaii to get a score of their own here, as there's, again, the clock is ticking, under 3.5 minutes to go here, with Cal driving deep in Hawaii territory. We were talking about the NFL in our previous segment. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, previewing a little bit of the storylines that are coming up for our three-game Christmas slate. But there's storylines galore in this entire Week 17 slate. In fact, I got a couple of correlated money line plays that I'm going to throw out to you guys in a couple of minutes. But let's head out to the Progressive guest line right now as we are joined by DraftKings Sportsbook and Forbes contributor Tanner Curran. Tanner, Merry Christmas, brother. Thanks so much for joining us here on Cashing Out. Are you sweating out Hawaii with me right now? Do you have any action on this game?
Yeah, I got Hawaii plus 4.5, so that should be good. Okay. I also have Hawaii money line as well, so I'd like to hit both of them, but I'll take the 4.5.
Let's go. Well, we have a busy slate of NFL action here. The backup quarterbacks that we didn't expect, certainly when this schedule came out, but it is what it is. We deal with it here. How are you approaching these games coming up here on Christmas, given the quarterback situations that we're going to see for the Commanders, for the Vikings and, of course, for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, you got to take it into account, right? The team starting backup quarterbacks are not going to be the same, especially the Kansas City Chiefs down to QB3 right now. That's something to note. But the biggest thing that I'm looking at is I have PTSD from Thanksgiving, honestly. I think everybody's on the favorites tomorrow. Most people, I would say, is on the favorites. And it makes sense just because of, you know, the quarterback situation. But there's also some situations where I could see the Minnesota Vikings making some plays and climbing back into that game or being within a touchdown there and covering the spread too. So I don't want to see a situation where all the dogs went out, right? I don't think we have that tomorrow, but there definitely could be one team that plays spoilers, just picking out what that team is.
Do you look at these games in week 17 and week 18, and do you want to pick on teams that have nothing to play for, that may have had their dream crushed by being eliminated from the postseason, or just knowing that it's a long shot for getting to the postseason? Like, how much does team motivation play a role for you in your handicaps in week 17 and week 18?
Oh, massively. You want to play the teams that are going for something, right? I look at the Cowboys Commanders game. You know, Cowboys 8.5-point favorites, and that's a lot of points to lay on the road with a division team there. But Dallas really isn't playing for anything too, so that line kind of scares me. But when I look at the Lions at -7.5 going against the Vikings, Detroit technically is still alive in the playoffs. They need a lot of help, but they can get there, right? So I think they come back, respond. I look at a game more so like, let's just say Tampa Bay going up against the Miami Dolphins, right? The Dolphins haven't really been playing for a lot. Like, their playoff chances were slim even when they're on the losing streak. But, you know, a couple weeks left in the season, it seems like they all like each other. They're building the next season. That's a team that could come out and play hard. So it's picking out the teams that, you know, have been playing hard if they've been eliminated, if I'm backing them, but really trying to look for those teams that are competing for a playoff spot, competing for seeding in the postseason.
Well, we have two of those teams in two possible Super Bowl contenders in the Buffalo Bills and the Philadelphia Eagles. And with the Bills being a 1.5-point favorite, with as strong as their home field advantage is, this is essentially the market telling us that these are even teams. Now, I don't know if we believe that right now, that these teams are even based on the way they've been playing. I certainly have concerns about Josh Allen with the foot, because that offense last week for Buffalo, once he, you know, got that x-ray at halftime and then came back in and he was dealing with that foot injury, their offense looked pretty stagnant. How are you going to play Eagles and Buffalo?
I'm going to be on the Philadelphia Eagles here on the money line. When I look at Philadelphia overall, they have won the division. That's my biggest concern. They're playing for seeding right now. I just can't be all over the Bills in this spot because of their defense. Last week against Cleveland, it came down to the wire. The defense made a stop when they had to, but Shedeur Sanders was going up and down the field. I mean, they were running the ball well, they were throwing the ball well, and they were converting on third down. That's my biggest fear against a team like the Philadelphia Eagles, who may not have it figured out offensively, but they still have capable players across the board. And the biggest thing to look at, the Buffalo Bills are in the bottom three of the NFL when it comes to rushing yards allowed per game, giving up over 144 on the ground. Saquon Barkley came alive last week. I think he can do it once again here against Buffalo. And if he does, it's going to be a lot for Josh Allen to climb his way out of a hole that the defense has given him multiple times this season versus a defense like the Philadelphia Eagles. When it comes down to motivation, you know, the Bills probably are more motivated in this spot than the Philadelphia Eagles coming off that division win. But I can't get on the Bills here just because of the fact that their defense has been digging some holes that might be too big for Josh Allen to find a way out of moving forward.
For sure, for sure. You look at another game here, the Sunday night game, we're going to see the Chicago Bears take on the San Francisco 49ers, what could be a playoff preview. San Francisco, I think it's fascinating that they are even in this situation, given all the injuries that they've dealt with. But if they win their remaining two games, Tanner, the flight home from Indianapolis on Monday night is the last time they're going to get on a plane this season, because they'll have the home field advantage in the playoffs and the Super Bowl is in their home building. So they have this opportunity right in front of them. It starts with a game here on Sunday against the Bears. How do you like them matching up with Ben Johnson's bunch?
I think it's going to be a great game. And you look at the 49ers, they've been playing awesome. Offensively, it's been great with Christian McCaffrey. Brock Purdy's been excellent. The offensive line's done a good job. One thing to note, George Kittle's ankle injury from the other night, how's that going to impact the offense in this spot? But the biggest fear that I have really is the San Francisco 49ers defense here. Did not look good against the Indianapolis Colts, made some stops when they had to, but we can't forget that 44-year-old Phillip Rivers is playing quarterback. The Colts did not run the ball super well in that game by any means. So it was really Phillip Rivers dicing him up. Rivers' passing line was set at 162, I believe, and he threw for nearly 300. So I do have my concerns about the 49ers defense, and I'm high on the Caleb Williams train this year. His ability to escape pressure in the pocket, get outside the pocket, make plays down the field, you know, just a freakish combination of athleticism and skill. And we're starting to see that right now. And the Bears have been great in close games. They've been great coming from behind, and they have a defense that's playing well and getting stops in, you know, high leverage situations. So I just, overall, both teams are motivated. You know, we can say that the 49ers are going for the one seed, but the Bears trying to win the division, trying, you know, obviously in the playoffs right now, but trying to win a division. And that would be huge for this, to Chicago in general, right? So I think we're going to see two highly motivated teams, but I'll trust the Bears with how they've been playing.
Tanner Kern from DK Sportsbooks and Forbes joining me. Scott Seidenberg here on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's talk about Philip Rivers. You mentioned the 44-year-old. Now, there's a chance, Tanner, that by the time the Colts kick this game off, they're eliminated from postseason contention. The Texans play on Saturday against the Chargers. If Houston wins, the Colts are eliminated. Now, Philip Rivers already came out and said that he still expects to start even if that game is meaningless. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to play the whole game. So how do you handicap this with the uncertainty of them possibly playing this game with nothing on the line?
Yeah, so all eyes will be on the Texans game, obviously, on Saturday night with the Chargers. You know, the Philip Rivers and company will be rooting for the Los Angeles Chargers in the game. That'll be easy with them, as that's his former team, right? It's a hard situation. The biggest thing that I'm looking at, though, if you're the Indianapolis Colts, you brought Philip Rivers there for a reason. The point of bringing Philip Rivers in was to make the playoffs. And I think, as a guy that's laid it on the line for them so long this season, or just for the past couple weeks, but done such a good job, you got to reward him here. And, you know, your belief in Riley Leonard for the future, I see him as a career backup, right? It's meaningful to get him some reps. But at the same time, do Philip Rivers' last dance here, coming back 44 years old, putting yourself in a position to, you know, compete in games. I think you owe it to him to give him the start. And when I look at the Colts offensively right now, not really running the football well, which is my biggest concern. But Philip Rivers has been good enough to keep games close, throwing the football. The Jacksonville Jaguars have one of the best rush defenses in the NFL. So I don't think it really matters that they can't run the football. They're going to come in and try to throw it like we saw last week. So no matter what happens in that Saturday night game, you're either going to get a Philip Rivers team that's highly motivated to try to keep making the playoffs, or you're going to get a team in general that, you know, wants to send Philip Rivers out on top and, you know, hopefully give him a win there too. So I think you're going to get a motivated team no matter what in this spot.
Yeah. And this is just so, this, it's one of these weird matchups. Like, the AFC South is such a weird division where you have one team always loses when they go to this place. Another team always loses when they go to this place. Well, the Jaguars, in their, since 2012, when they go to Indy, 3-10 straight up. So it's like, it's the opposite, by the way. When the Colts go to Jacksonville, they always lose there. Jags always lose in Indy. So just one of those weird situations that always happens in that crazy division that we call the AFC South. Tanner, appreciate the time as always. Have a very Merry Christmas. Enjoy the games coming up here as much as you can tomorrow. I know you got certainly action on the NBA as well. So enjoy the day, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thanks for having me. Merry Christmas. Go Hawaii.
Yes, let's go. Let's come back and win this game. We'll update you on that Hawaii Bowl coming up as the Rainbow Warriors trail 31-28 here, under 2 minutes to go. They do have the football. The holidays may slow everybody else down, but not us here at VSiN. Guys, you know that. Because while you're celebrating, traveling, or taking a rare day off, we're going to be live all Christmas Day with wall-to-wall betting coverage. Your morning's going to start with VSiN by the books, followed by a numbers game, a special edition of Live Bet Christmas to guide you through all the early action. And then in the afternoon, we're going to keep all the insights coming. Follow the money, VSiN Primetime, and yours truly will be back with you on Cashing Out. So even if your routine shifts a bit during the holidays, your betting coverage doesn't have to. From bowl season to the NFL action, the NBA's holiday slate, VSiN is your home for holiday betting coverage. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on the Sports Betting Network.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Thank you so much to this Hawaii Bowl for delivering everything that we wanted you to deliver here on Christmas Eve. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We have 15 seconds remaining in regulation. I say regulation because Hawaii is in field goal range, or at least on the edge of it here to attempt a game tying field goal, but there is still some time for them. They have no timeouts left, and trying to get the go ahead score or at least set up their kicker for a game tying kick. And the deep throw, did he catch that? Hawaii has got the touchdown. The backup quarterback comes in after Micah Alejado has to leave the game when his helmet comes off. Alejado has been banged up. The backup quarterback comes in for Hawaii and has just thrown a 22-yard go-ahead touchdown in the closing seconds here against Cal as Hawaii has taken the lead in the Hawaii Bowl. Thank you for delivering a good bowl game. We have been waiting for this all bowl season. Thank you. Hawaii has the lead now, and let's see how much time is left on the clock as they will kick the extra point. There's 7 seconds remaining. Hawaii has taken a 34-31 lead with 7 seconds remaining over. Well, let's see. No, they got to kick the extra point here, so it's 34-31. And let's see. This is important because it takes it to a 4-point game instead of a 3-point game. Bang. 35-31 is your score. Hawaii leads Cal with just 7 seconds remaining here in the Hawaii Bowl. What a game this has been. By far the best game of bowl season so far, not counting the college football playoff. It has delivered everything we wanted it to deliver here as a standalone game on Christmas Eve. And for all of us here on the network that were on VSiN, that were on Hawaii, and there's quite a bunch of us here at VSiN. Our very own Matt Humans is at the game right now. Our very own Tim Murray had head coach Timmy Chang on his college football podcast here on the VSiN family of podcasts. And you know Tim was betting Hawaii in this game. I've come on every show I've done this week and given out Hawaii and the over as my best bets for this game. In our VSiN college football betting guide, which VSiN Pro subscribers can get, by the way, several of our experts here at VSiN were on Hawaii in this game. That was when Hawaii opened up as a 3-point dog before all the action moved to have Hawaii be a slight favorite prior to kickoff of this game. No funny business here. Let's let the final 7 seconds play out as Hawaii will kick the football off here. 35-31. Will there be a return? No. It'll be a touchback. You know, I don't necessarily agree with that. Like, I'm a big squib kick guy, okay? Now, they have to defend the touchdown. It's not like they're defending a field goal here, but go ask Sean McDermott about kicking it through the back of the end zone late in a game situation, okay? I'm a squib guy. Pick the ball up, return it, right? Waste a couple of seconds off the clock. If your kickoff team can't defend a squib kick and you're worried about a kick return for a touchdown, I mean, then you're not doing it right. But I just think that too many things can happen when, you know, you have a set plays from set snaps from the line of scrimmage. But anyway, Cal's going to throw, and the receiver will get to the 40-yard line and step out of bounds. That did not take much time off the clock at all. So let's see. I think they might even be in Hail Mary range right now. If they're at the 40-yard line, I don't know how strong JKS's arm is, but if he can reach 60 yards, 60-plus yards or so, they might be in Hail Mary range, or is it pitchy-pitchy woo-woo time? They are on their own, like, 38-yard line right now. So let's see if this will be the final play of the game or if they will just try and get a couple of yards. They do throw it in the middle of the field, and it is incomplete. So I think there's actually 1 second left on the clock. So this will be the final play of the game. I do not think they're in Hail Mary territory, so this might be a hook and lateral type of play, as we always say, the pitchy-pitchy woo-woo stuff. So let's see if that comes home here. But if it holds like this, Hawaii will win the Hawaii Bowl. First time they're in this game since 2019. And yes, all the familiarity with the coaches, what an incredible moment for both Timmy Chang and for even the Cal interim head coach in Nick Rolovich, who was the former coach. Oh my goodness, they're picking it up, they're throwing it around, and it finally gets recovered by Hawaii as this game will come to a close. I thought for a moment there, I got scared for a little bit because a Cal player did have the football running with it. But don't do this now. The players are rushing the field. I hope this isn't a brawl. This would be what a sad ending this would be to what is a great game and should have been an incredibly respectful rivalry between these two programs. So hopefully everything gets cleared up here and there's no nonsense going on at the end of this game. Because again, this would put a real stinker on what has been a special night here out on the islands. So hopefully everything gets cleared up there. But coming into this game, the reason why I loved betting this game, and yes, it took an incredible comeback. Hawaii was down 21-0. But this was a rare situation in bowl season. A rare situation in bowl season where you know not only who's playing, but you know what they're playing for. The best piece of advice that I can give anybody when looking to bet a college football bowl game is you have to understand it's not just about the opt-outs, because there's plenty of programs, and we have seen it here in this bowl season. There's plenty of programs that still have their starters in. UNLV had their starting quarterback, Anthony Calandria. They had their starting running back, Jet Thomas, but they were terrible in their bowl game. So it's not just about the opt-outs. Yes, those are important. Believe me, those are important. But it's more than the opt-outs. It's about the motivation. It's about what are they playing this game for. And for some of these programs and for some of these coaches, they are playing this bowl game for no reason whatsoever. Because what's more important for them is not the actual playing of this bowl game, but it's about the 3 weeks or so of extra practice time that they got at the end of their season, where instead of sending their players home after finals and for the holidays and not seeing them again until next semester and just hoping that they follow the off-season weight program and meet with their strength and conditioning coach in the weight room, no, now they got an extra month to have those kids in the building, to have them in the practice facility, to work with them within the restrictions that exist under the NCAA with all the practice time limits and whatnot. So they utilize that extra time to work with their programs and to work with these players to get an early start at next season. And so they're not spending time game planning for their current opponent. They're not spending time working with the starters to say, hey, we got to really take advantage of something that this team that we're about to play in the Sunshine, Tony the Tiger Bowl, whatever, right? We have to take advantage of what they do. No. Instead, some of the starters might just be going through walkthroughs, doing this, doing that. And the coaches are working with the backups. The coaches are working with the players that are maybe fighting for scholarships, that are trying to make the depth charts going into the spring. And those are teams that you want to fade in bowl season. I don't want to bet on a team that has no interest in playing in the game that they're currently playing in. And I don't know this for a fact, but you can't tell me that you watched every UNLV game that they played this season and tell me that they played that game against Ohio yesterday with a purpose. Because they did not. They were indoors, no elements, against a MAC opponent. They scored one touchdown, and that took until the fourth quarter for a team that averages over 40 points per game. Please. We have seen terrible football this bowl season, but this Hawaii game was different because this Hawaii game featured two programs that were playing this game with a purpose, because both head coaches understood the importance of this game. Nick Rolovich, former Hawaii quarterback, former Hawaii head coach, getting the interim job at Cal, took pride in getting the invite to the Hawaii Bowl. And for Timmy Chang, having his program host the Hawaii Bowl, playing in it for the first time since 2019, it meant something. To have two quarterbacks that are Hawaiian-born kids to be playing in this game in front of their families, in a game that they grew up watching, it meant something. This is the best game of bowl season. This was tonight the best game of bowl season. Hey, as the official horse racing partner of VSiN, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. First Bet isn't just about placing a bet. It's about helping bettors of all levels with proprietary AI handicapping tools that provide data-driven insights to help you make smarter bets. First Bet's in-app tools give you win, place, and show probabilities for each runner so you can quickly and easily identify good value plays and improve your ROI. Right now, you can take advantage of their limited-time $250 sign-up offer to claim your bonus. Use promo code VSiN250 when you sign up in the First Bet app or at firstbet.com. That's promo code VSiN250. It's cashing out here on VSiN.